Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, September 20th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Fruity Odie Bars. Make a man out of a mouse. Get a free bonus box when you use the code ETHKARAMNASMIECH. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the board is...
Oh, sorry, Darren.
We'll never get that right, will we?
It was my fault. It's like one person has to mess it up every week.
You're supposed to be our rock, Tom.
I know. Behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric.
Hello.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
Doing good. Top story today, Google Apps getting two-factor authentication.
Woohoo.
Sweet. So the way this works is if you sign up for it, it's opt-in, you will be able to get a second factor on every login to Gmail. This will first be released to people who use Google Apps on the domain and eventually be rolled out to Gmail for everybody to use in the world. And you can have it either send a voice call, so it calls and gives you a code. Just kind of, I might do that at first just for the weirdness of it. Or more practically, a text message. Or you can be able to download an app, which sort of works the way a lot of these app authenticators work. If you've ever played World of Warcraft, Blizzard has an authenticator you can use like that, where you just launch the app, it gives you the code based on time.
And a lot of bank systems already use this. In fact, if you're in a corporate environment,
PayPal uses this too.
Exactly. You may probably already use this at work if you have a secure VPN that requires like an RSA token, little keychain thingy that basically gives you a five-digit key number that like syncs up with some world clock. Good stuff. I'm stoked for this. I think that we should have this on all websites. So, you know, hopefully this begins to, suggest other websites do this as well.
So it's just really, really bad for people who lose their phones regularly and good for everyone else.
Yeah, if you lose your phone regularly.
Well, you wouldn't lose your phone number. Like, what if it's just like a text message or like Tom said, a call? In fact, if it's a call, I want like a cool code word like Josephine. I want to be like activated like a secret agent.
I want it to be like reading
out a code. Don't you need the phone to be in your hand so that you get your code?
Well, yeah, but you could, I mean, if you lost your phone, then you could log into your Gmail and they'll call you. And then you'll be like, under the couch cushion.
Could you make it call your Google Voice number?
Ooh, that's
so then it would call any phone.
Mm-hmm.
You could you have your Google Voice number forwarded and then...
Why wouldn't it? This is all Google anyway.
Yeah.
If it's not,
so then it wouldn't. Then if you've lost your phone, it would still ring your home phone or your work phone or whatever. Yeah.
We don't have home phones anymore. None of us have home phones.
Regardless of the phones, this is great for security because the passwords that we have right now are just something you know, and it's something that can be stolen or guessed or cracked out of a hash or whatever have you. But when you also throw in something you have, well, then now they have to steal something you have.
So just really make sure you have passcodes on your phone. So if someone steals your phone and they try to send a text message to figure out what the code is, then they can't crack the phone's password.
Yeah. I mean, it's like your...
passcode's it's wild!
It's just like your ATM card. You need both the card and the PIN code that you know. So I just hope that they follow TrueCrypt's lead and do something with like an alternate code. Like, I would love to have a plausible deniability code to log into my Gmail, where if you use that code with that device or whatever it may be, you get a totally different inbox. That needs to be a Google.
So like
apps.
A hidden volume?
Ooh. Like a hidden volume.
You'd
in
have
Gmail.
A hidden inbox?
Yeah. So like, you know, if you're ever under the gun and you have to give it.
Yeah, you have a fake inbox that you could log into.
If there's a gun at my head and I need to give someone my Gmail password.
That should be like.
You're getting my bunk inbox.
Exactly. It should go
to
your
bacon.
Go ahead
and answer those. I hate those emails anyway.
They just get your bacon. Yeah.
That's funny.
It would save your bacon.
That's funny.
Well, because TrueCrypt does that for Windows install. You can log into a hidden volume. So if you're at the border and they're like, we want to look through all your data, you're like, here you go. I'm logging in. Look away. And all you find is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea.
I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That also, we should pass along that you won't have to use the second factor every time if you don't want to. You can set it to say a session on a particular machine is good for a month. Mm-hmm. So once you've logged in, you can just... log in with your regular password for a month without having to do the second factor. Now, that's riskier if you're worried about you know, your laptop being stolen or something like that. But it's a way to make it easier. So I think Google has done a really good job of rolling this out in a way that's adaptable, not forcing it on people, but encourages you to want to use it. And it's a really, really secure thing to use, second factor
authentication. I hope it gets adopted from the mainstream, because I have a feeling it might be a bit too geeky.
I feel like in a mainstream way, this would not be adopted.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see how they roll it out.
I mean, right now it's like Android app, and it's just for specific...
they're marketing it towards enterprise first, because they think that's where more people are likely to have a sysadmin make you do it.
Right. But supposedly we're going to have an iPhone app here soon enough, and if it makes its way over to Google Docs, hey, why not? You know?
And, oh, speaking
heaven
of
forbid somebody gets the Tech News Today lineup early.
Well, it was just shared with like 500 people. Speaking of Google Docs, they also announced today that they're going to bring mobile editing capabilities to Docs on your phone, iPhone and Android.
Finally.
Right, this now you can news. Sort of edit a spreadsheet
sort
in a mobile
of.
Browser.
In the most frustrating way ever, that reminds me of something only as frustrating as like WAP from back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that frustrating.
It's possible. It's something I never do. We use Google spreadsheet for both the show. I use it on iPad today. I never go in and edit via my iPad.
It takes about four times as long for me to put a link in our spreadsheet on my iPad as it would on my computer.
Yes.
Facebook said, no, we are not making a Facebook phone.
Or are they?
With their fingers crossed. TechCrunch had reported over the weekend that Facebook is secretly building a phone. Facebook came out and said, Facebook is not building a phone. We did not have sex with that phone building the project.
We aren't putting the capacitors on the board. And
depends
and
on what your
on
definition of is.
Is. Facebook spokesperson Jamie Shoflin told CNET, our view is that almost all experiences would be better if they were social, so integrating deeply into existing platforms and operating systems is a good way to enable this. It went on and on and on. The upshot being, yeah, we're totally working on Facebook stuff for phones, which makes me think they're probably working on an adapted version of Android, just like you have AT&T has adapted versions of Android, or the HTC Sense is an adapted UI to the Android, but a Facebook-branded version of that.
I think it's really easy for Facebook to say, we're not working on a phone. We're not in the phone business.
We are not
a telephone.
Physically building a phone.
That's not what Facebook does, phones. But, I mean, of course, everything about Facebook is communicating in a social way, but not being on a phone. So building a Facebook device that's much like a device that is a phone that we're all used to is still a way of saying, well, yeah, that's what we're doing, but semantically, no phones here.
Well, it's what TechCrunch rightly points out. It's what Google did with the Google phone. They said, no, we are not building a phone, and then they came out with the Nexus One, and they were right. They didn't build the Nexus One. They just contracted it specifically to be built for them with their operating system on it. We're not even saying that's what Facebook is doing. They wouldn't even have to. They could partner with a carrier to come out with some Facebook-branded phone that had some really integrated apps so that your contacts and your photos. I'm thinking Windows Phone 7 would be perfect for this, actually.
Yeah, Android as well, because it can be customized to the carrier's liking.
Yeah.
Just like you've seen Motorola, they come out with their own, with their, you know, different UI on top of Android. Of course, that just forks it and fragments it and all that fun stuff. But still, you know, it's a good platform that they could use.
There's going to be lots more forking and fragmenting before this is all over. I'll give you that.
Well, hopefully the Facebook not phone fares better than Akin, for example.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who's this in the chat room said this. J.C. Wayne points out, by that definition, Apple doesn't build phones either.
True.
You know,
we're not working on a phone.
Although,
are we physically building a phone right
now? Apple makes the hardware on contract, but they do. Yeah, I mean, they're closer to making the phone than Google was. Put it that way.
Because
they designed it.
But nobody was suggesting that someone in a back room at Facebook is putting together a phone.
But that's what Facebook is denying. It's very clever.
Well, they're denying something that no one has suggested.
Well, exactly. What do you guys think? I mean, if there is, say, like it's just a branded Windows mobile phone or an Android phone or whatever have you that just has like all of the Facebook apps integrated in to the operating system, do you think that would be compelling?
Absolutely. Ken Shepherdson upstairs, our VP of Engineering, pointed out, he's like, think feature phones instead of smartphones. So think of like a Kin type phone that's all about Facebook. There'd be tons of people who would get that, and it might even be free on contract.
My initial reaction was, well, why would I want just a Facebook, you know, a deeply integrated Facebook phone?
I don't think that's the demographic.
Well, exactly.
If such a thing were to be.
it's that I have to remind myself that I have a lot of, I mean, a lot of my friends and peers who I connect with in a social media way only on Facebook. They're not on Twitter. They have no idea what Flickr is and, you know, all of that other stuff that we're used to. For a lot of folks, Facebook is social media.
Yeah, I just don't see why it has to be. I mean, I understand from like a marketing perspective, if it were to be like a feature phone, why it would have to be like Facebook branded and all of that stuff. But for the rest of us, for the geeks in the audience, I think whatever, your Facebook app on your phone is going to get you there. Because like you said, with the Flickr and the Twitter and all of the other social media stuff, why would you lock yourself into a one social network phone?
If they really are building a phone or whatever it is, it'll be
F-A-U-X-N-E.
The phone,
it's the phony.
The marketing push is going to be the really interesting part of this,
right?
If it
fares better than Ken.
Didn't fare well at all.
Intel has got a little marketing mojo going on. Some people have found in Gateway computers a little card that says, hey, send us $50 and we'll magically make your computer faster.
So they nerfed your PC and now they're extorting money out of you to get the rest of the CPU cycles and L3 cache and registers and whatever have you out of you.
Exactly.
Okay,
but,
nice.
But didn't Intel used to, like, partially destroy chips that were capable of more back in the day? So they're actually doing less damage.
I don't know if they were actually destroyed or if they just came out of the factory gimpy.
Right. Now, there's always the part of the process where if part of the chip isn't up to standards, it may not fare as well. This chip might be crashy or whatever, so we have to turn off this section of it, and then we'll sell it as a cheaper chip. That happens all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you get, like, your Celerons or whatever have you.
Right.
But this is going completely different, saying, no, it's
basically
a good
chip. It turns off a full 1 megabyte of L3 cache and hyper-threading support.
What this tells me is
And so there's a firmware upgrade that re-enables the L3 cache, 1 megabyte, and hyper-threading support, and magically, your processor is faster.
Yes. Aaron, you're the hacker. Is this something that you can get around?
Probably.
In theory.
You're talking about chips. These are the people that buy these are the people that build their computers, the people that buy graphics cards and overclock them. Right. So it wouldn't surprise me if there isn't already that it wouldn't be coming around tomorrow.
So actually, this is an awesome thing.
So this is because
you can get a chip for $50 less than you probably would pay otherwise.
Yes, and you wouldn't have to necessarily worry about like overclocking. Oh, is it going to be stable? Because what this actually tells me though is that Intel has gotten so good at whatever chip this is that this family is based on, that they don't have enough defects to disable a portion of it and sell them as a lesser chip, and that they're just like, oh well, if they're all good, how are we supposed to differentiate our line, because they need the $200 chip, the $300 chip, the $500 chip. So
you just need a group to come out with an easy way to crack this,
to unlock it. Yeah. And then the DMCA will get in, and then it'll get really fun.
I mean, for the folks who are complaining, I can't believe there would be a fully functional chip and we only have partial function unless we pay more. Ugh, Intel. I understand that part of the argument, but it's like, doesn't it just require them to make a lot fewer? I mean, on an assembly line, you're just making one kind of chip.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably using fewer materials because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that just make sense for their bottom line?
Well, it still makes sense to tier them so that you can, by making the cheap chip and the medium chip and the extreme chip, it makes the medium chip look a lot more enticing because, oh, why would I buy the $200, whatever? I mean, even if they are the same exact chip, I mean, that's why in a lot of times there is that 1-2-3 choice.
Well, would you like a car that was marketed the same way? Like, well, it's, it's got eight cylinders.
That's exactly how cars are.
Pay extra for four more cylinders.
That's what cars do.
Can you upgrade them, though? Can you go to unlock the cylinders in my car?
Kind of. What about those little, on your dash, there'll be that little plastic thing that there's nothing in.
Oh, I hate that.
Because you have the stock version of the car.
Because you didn't get the accessory with the traction control.
Yeah, like night panel.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the engine of the car, which is essentially what we're talking about, the engine of a computer, right? You buy an engine, you expect to get the whole engine.
And also let's consider that we're talking about the difference in owning what you bought and licensing what you bought, because the difference here is, oh sure, you bought this chip, but we only licensed you for half the horsepower or whatever it may be.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because if you do unlock it, you're right, it's going to be a DMCA, because Intel's saying, hey, You're getting around our protection, and we need to get paid for that. And it's like, hey, you know what? You sold me this piece of silicon that's capable of this. If I can make it do it, I should be able to make it
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can't take it apart, desolder, whatever you want to do with it, it's you don't own it. Yeah. And go ahead and unlock these. And when it comes down to it at the end of the day and however many years it's going to take for this to shake up, it'll probably be just like it is with unlocking your cell phone, where the Library of Congress has to come around and say, you know what? That's kind of BS. Here's an exemption.
T-Mobile is under the gun from Easy Texting. We all know Easy. No, we don't.
No.
But they are a company that provides services for text messages. Say the kinds of thing it's like, hey, if you want to be updated on our company's latest products, text the word update to this number.
It's like Twitter's 40404.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Exactly. Yeah. Or KCBS, you can text the word breaking. And then that signs you up to text messages of breaking news.
Right. And I looked into these, actually, once I was building a social network thing within Hack 5. And I thought, hey, why not get a short code for it? And those are so freaking expensive.
Are they?
Yeah. That's why it's like 10 grand a month or something like that.
Whoa.
When I was looking at them. So that's why they have these services, like you said, where you have to text a certain word to this. It's because a lot of different companies share this short code. And also, you can lease them for a shorter amount of time. So you see a lot of times on, like, you know, your French fry container or your cup or whatever at some fast food thing, if they've got a promotion going on, special code that you have to send to a special number, just because it's cheaper to just go ahead and license that for a little bit.
Well,
so by disconnecting this short code, they're not just impacting the...
Well, we haven't told them that part yet.
Anyway.
313131 cannot be used anymore because, as Dara just pointed out, it's been disconnected. And the reason for being disconnected is... Easy Texting claims T-Mobile got wind that LegalMarijuanaDispensary.com was using the service and was going to cut them off. So Easy Texting went and cut off its relationship with the marijuana website on September 9th. However, Easy Texting still got cut off on September 10th. And now T-Mobile is saying, sorry, it's going to take you 6 months to reestablish all of the systems that you need if you want to come back on board.
Well, Easy Texting is saying that's how long it would take them to be able to set up this infrastructure again from scratch. Here's my problem with this story.
Because the infrastructure is convoluted because there was never in a spec for text messaging for cross-carrier, and they all had to just kind of ad hoc put it together with like FTP drops and stuff like that. Anyway, just a weird geeky side note, but it's not made for that.
Right. The problem I have with the story is that Easy Texting claims that T-Mobile was going to cut them off because of their relationship with this legal marijuana dispensary, which supposedly, you know, you text a code and you find out where the nearest head shop is.
And let's be clear. This is legal in California.
This is for people who are card carrying marijuana, medical marijuana customers.
Not legal in all parts of the U.S., but it's legal in California.
Right. So under the law, this is not an illegal thing, although, of course, the whole marijuana thing carries a certain kind of weight with people. Now, and they said, well, we didn't want to cut off the connection with the marijuana company, but we did because we didn't want T-Mobile to screw us over. But T-Mobile has still screwed us over, so now we're suing them. T-Mobile didn't say it had anything to do with the marijuana folks.
Well, T-Mobile hasn't said anything.
They haven't said anything, but Easy Texting is like, it's almost like they're guessing that that's the reason, but it's like if they cut off ties with this other company and T-Mobile still shut them down, then that's not a very good argument.
Yeah, this is what drives me crazy, regardless of the marijuana or whatever it may be. You don't delist a DNS. You don't delist a text message number. These are, you know, this is an infrastructure that we all rely on, and you can't decide what is going to be allowed and not allowed. It's a common carrier, people. I mean,
right.
You know, they wouldn't block a phone number that you could call. So why would they block a short code?
Well, that's what the lawsuit is claiming, is that this should fall under the same common carrier laws and they shouldn't be shut off for this reason. So that lends credence. I know what you're saying, Sarah. It's a good point to say, like, well, maybe there's something else going on and this is just a coincidence. T-Mobile has not said anything. That, to me, since this story broke on Sunday, means that they don't have an easy answer to this. They can't just come out and say, like, well, they weren't paying their bills. That's why we cut them off.
Right.
But the fact that they got cut off September 10th, one day after Easy Texting had cut off the marijuana site, and the fact that they're able to file a lawsuit that says we got cut off for bad reasons, lends me to believe they're probably right, that this is why they got cut off. And if they are right, this is unconscionable. T-Mobile should not have the right to say, you know what, I don't like that.
Right,
I'm going to get rid of this.
Were you just telling me?
Yeah, Verizon has done this in the past, where they actually tried to cut off some sort of parental planning notification, and there was a huge outcry, and Verizon backed off of it.
So it's not as if T-Mobile's like, well, you know, Verizon got away with this, and we don't want any association, so we'll just do what they did. There's no case that would have proved they would get what they wanted. The whole thing just sounds like we're missing a vital part of the story here.
Well, when T-Mobile finally gets around to talking, maybe we'll find out more. But for now, I'm left believing it's 90% chance that Easy Texting is telling the story right.
Mm. Yeah,
that's just my gut feeling.
And that's also kind of important whether or not the short codes are on a carrier-by-carrier basis.
A DDoS is propagating across the net, taking out such wonderful enterprises.
Beloved.
As the MPAA.
Yes.
The RIAA.
National Treasures.
The BPI.
What's the BPI?
The website of Aplex. That's the British version of
phonography.
Of such. Aplex Software is the anti-piracy outfit that was DDoSing torrent sites. That caught the attention of some 4chan folks. The anonymous folks on 4chan put together a protest. They got everyone to download a program that allowed them to DDoS MPAA, RIAA, and Aplex itself.
Yes.
And there's more of them.
Yes.
So it's like you threw a rock at us and now we'll throw a boulder back at you.
Well, or a low-orbiting ion cannon, or that is the
in
program.
This case.
Is that the program they're using?
That's the program, Lloyd. Yeah. Disturbing to think
kind
of.
Silly.
Okay,
this is on so many ends.
Well, this is the wave of the future. This is how protests are going to happen online. Where instead of showing up with picket signs outside of a company, it's like, you know what? Let's make a statement. And they made a statement, and the sites are back up.
Okay, sure. But in that instance, the picketers aren't causing any collateral damage, whereas the denial of service attacks are. I mean, sure,
what's the collateral damage?
Well, you know, these are network resources. It's not like the net was made for DDoS attacks. It's tying up more than just the resources of the website in between. I mean, you've got to figure every router in between has to bear the load of this as well. And I'm sure the ISPs aren't happy with this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for, you know, when a statement needs to be made, especially in this case where, you know, a company was contracted to use, you know, a denial of service attack to attack, pirate sites. And, you know, there should be rules to this engagement. And
I was going to say, if the protest is at fault for launching DDoS, Aplex doubly so.
Yeah.
Because they started it.
And they should be, you know, they should be fined or somehow
it just seems like a really
brought
lame
to justice for
way
that because
to try to make a point.
Really? Why is it lame? You bring down the website. I think that makes a good point.
No, I'm talking about Aplex.
Oh, you're talking about Aplex. Okay.
Aplex. You know, it's like a parent being like, don't do that.
Yeah, it's not the right
way. Shut this door. Don't open it.
No, I mean, all of the efforts to fight piracy seem misguided at this point.
Yeah, right? In this case, like Aplex is like the guys, you know, throwing bricks in windows. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing here.
Yeah. And whether you agree with it or not, fighting fire with fire is a longstanding tradition.
Yes.
So you're going to DDoS us? We'll DDoS you right back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but the RIAA and the MPA should be, you know, prosecuted for this. And that's where the rebuttal should be, not in a DDoS from anonymous. But then again, that's anonymous for you. And there you go. Like Tom said, fire with fire. I understand it completely.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have as much problem as you do, Darren, about the collateral damage, because I don't see that there is a whole lot. I know how annoying this is, having had TechTV.com DDoSed on many an occasion, and what you have to do to avoid it. But honestly, you know, this is the wild westness of the web that's still alive, and it kind of warms my heart a little bit.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It warms my heart in the same way that last week we were talking about the story where the hacker had put up the YouTube video and an electronic computer voice making, not making demands, but explaining himself and saying he wasn't a terrorist, and me feeling this very, ghost in the shell moment. And yes, it very much feels that as well, just without the hover cars.
Instead of going into the future where we have the U.S. Department of Justice given the power to shut down websites dedicated to illegal sharing of online film, music, software, and other intellectual property, that's the Combating Online Infringement and Counterfix Act that is going through, sponsored by Senators Patrick Leahy and Senator Orrin Hatch. Under the proposed legislation, the Justice Department would file civil actions against registrars who have domain names of people accused of piracy. Now, they would have to have a judge order this, so it would go through a court. Then the domain name would be yanked. Well that's not going to do anything.
Of course.
You get the domain name.
Tom, of course.
And then if it's outside the United States, they'll go after the ISPs and anyone who's serving ads on the site.
Hmm. Well, I mean, obviously...
Also, anybody who would allow transactions.
Yeah, or the payment providers.
Well, that's what happens currently with, like, the Russian MP3 sites where, like, Visa delists them and stuff. And if you, you know, use your MasterCard to buy a bunch of rubles to buy some MP3s that are technically legit in a kind of weird copyright
loophole sort of way.
Do we need the
Department of Justice doing this, though? That's my only
problem. No, that's the thing. Don't get the government involved here. Now, I'm not saying that the DDoS is the alternative either, but, you know, like, Congress, really? Come on. Like, last thing we need is domain registrars deciding what is good and bad, and unfortunately we've already had that to some extent.
Apple's iPad could be debuting content subscriptions in the next 1 or 2 months, according to the Wall Street Journal. The talks are heating up. Apple's really pushing hard to court publishers. This really isn't that much different than the San Jose Mercury News story from last week, other than the Wall Street Journal getting a few more quotes saying, yeah, this is really happening, and it could happen sooner than we thought. 1 or 2 months would be before the holiday season.
Right. Well, I guess it could coincide with 4.2 for iPad. Otherwise, probably I can't really see it rolling out before a new iPad, what, next April? I love the idea. I hope it happens in November or sooner, as soon as possible.
Apparently, Hearst is one of the more favorable publications for this. So we might see Oprah Winfrey Magazine available on your iPad sooner than later.
I've never read Oprah Winfrey Magazine in any way, but I could certainly try it out on the iPad.
Yeah.
Why not?
I like the idea of having a newsstand instead of having to use the App Store. I think the app, even if they just took the App Store and created a special section of it for all of the publication apps, I mean, I think that would be better than what's going on now.
If there was a way to treat magazines the way that, you know, I have subscriptions to a few magazines, and then there's a few that I just... Yeah, I don't know. I pick one up at the cash register and I just buy it. Just the once and I consume it and that's all I need. I'd love to be able to do that in the same way on my iPad.
Yeah, if you could just browse the newsstand, like while you're waiting for your apps to download, it'd be equivalent to waiting in line at the grocery store.
Yeah, like, I've got 5 minutes.
And just you just have a few.
They give you a couple of pages, let you read like some just some leads and stuff.
Yeah.
Great. National Enquirer, Us Weekly.
Yes.
We're going to need some royalties for our idea, Apple.
You've got to like flip through the Enquirer just to get to the app you want. You know, it's like it's between.
I love it. And you've got like the Sands of Time.
And then
finish it.
If Cosmo.com could reform itself, and then I could actually buy like candy bars while I'm in the App Store waiting for my apps to download.
You know, they would be delivered to me.
Oh, I thought you meant Cosmopolitan magazine.
No, I was very confused.
I was like, Tom,
just
don't admit that.
You know,
when you're you know, when you're installing an operating system, it has got the billboards telling you all about the OS. Could you imagine, like, as you're downloading some other app, instead of billboards, you've got like some pages of the magazine that come up, and you're like, ooh, download, slow down. You're like trying to walk away from your access point to get.
It would also be good for discovery, really. Yeah. I mean, you could try to speed read, but also be like, this seems like a cool magazine. Yeah. I've had a little taste. Now I can check that out next. Maybe.
Best Buy CEO Brian Dunn says he may have been exaggerating when he said the iPad was cutting into notebook sales at Best Buy. He says they were fueled in part by a comment in the Wall Street Journal that was attributed to me. Doesn't say he didn't say it. They are not an accurate depiction of what we're currently seeing. Does it sound to you like he's got a gun to his head when he's saying this? In fact, we see some shifts in consumption patterns with tablet sales being an incremental opportunity. And as we said during a recent earnings call, we believe computers will remain very popular. Please don't kill me, Dell. He didn't say, please don't kill me, Dell. I added that in. That was a dramatic interpretation. But essentially, NPD has come out and said, you know what? Yeah, Brian Dunn was full of it. iPads are not eating into netbook sales. In fact, netbook sales are doing quite fine. They had a dip for a while. It was not surprising that they reached a saturation point. And with the economy the way it was, that they would have a lag in sales like every other model. An iPad being brand new without anything else like it would see a nice meteoric rise. That doesn't mean that the netbook's fall in sales had anything to do with the iPad. In fact, NPD says in July, netbook sales rose slightly. It's mid-range laptops that fell.
Mm.
Do you not think that they're fad products?
What, netbooks?
Oh, netbooks and tablets. Or netbooks and, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I've always thought netbooks were fad products. I'm not sure about tablets yet. Well, I definitely felt that way in January, but the more I start to use it for productivity things instead of toy things,
okay,
the less my fad meter has hit about 50%. I can't decide which way to go now.
We all oohed and awed about the
tab
being able to edit Google Docs on our iPads. We were like, because that's not fun and games. That's actually work for us.
Yeah. Also, don't forget that the Windows 7 wave helped netbook sales at the beginning.
Yes.
Even with just having Starter Edition. And that wave of sales has started to recede as well.
I'm thinking CES 08 was like, you know, Netbook Fest. And I'm sure 2011 is going to be Tablet Fest. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as the fad is concerned, like what we're on top of right now.
It seems like NPD, everything they've said as far as stats go, it sounds on point. At the same time, to say that the iPad had nothing to do with this is kind of silly.
Well, I mean, NPD's not saying, in fact, NPD very carefully does not say it had nothing to do with it.
They said,
sure, the iPad probably had an effect. We believe it's a very small effect, much smaller than the 50% that the guy from Best Buy was saying. All right, it is time now. What time is it? Oh, right. Time for the news fuse.
Oh.
Apple's kinder, gentler, smart-assier app guidelines are starting to bear some fruit. VLC Media Player came to the iPad. It's also on Android now, by the way. Now available alongside two Google Voice apps, a Commodore 64 emulator, and Napster has an iOS app now. For $10 a month, it gives you access to 10 million songs, in some cases, even when you're offline. Kind of like Napster in 1999, except you have to pay $10 a month.
That doesn't add up. Downloaded games are outselling discs. During the first 6 months of the year, consumers in the U.S. purchased and downloaded 11.2 million digital PC games online, surpassing the 8.2 million physical games bought at retail stores over the same period, according to an NPD Group report. Still, revenue for both digital and physical games dropped 21%, compared with the first half of 2009, NPD said, while unit sales declined 14% year over year.
Open source gamers rejoice. Id Software has released the source code for Castle Wolfenstein, as well as Wolfenstein Enemy Territory, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, the single player, and the multiplayer under the general purpose license, or GPL, sorry, public. The graphics are not part of the release, so you'll need the full game if you actually want to look at the castle.
Aw, man, that's the whole point of it. Verizon has launched a mobile recovery app as part of its total equipment coverage, allowing users to secure and find their lost phone. Users will be able to start an alarm to help them find the phone if they think it's around the house. You can locate the phone by GPS and erase the data remotely. Total equipment coverage runs $8 a month for smartphone users, $6 a month for others.
My guess is that a lot of Verizon people will need this feature.
A lot of lost Verizon
phones. It's not just AT&T people who lose their phones. Apple has signed a deal with Rovi, a company that provides TV guide listings to hardware vendors, like the listings you see on your cable box or DVR. Piper Jaffray analysts claim this is a sign that Apple will merge the Apple TV device into an all-in-one television device in 2012. Apple also bought face recognition company Polar Rose, so maybe customized TV listings based on your face.
Your face wants to watch the new Hawaii 5-0.
Magnum PI, perhaps? You've got a mustache.
That's right.
Now, you may have seen the headline, Flash runs more efficiently than HTML5 in tests. Well, yes and no. Adobe themselves says that the Canvas tool used to run the benchmarks could have been tuned to run better on mobile. John Gruber at Daring Fireball makes the point that it doesn't benchmark all uses of Flash or HTML5, so grab yourself a big grain of salt and enjoy the benchmarks.
Plane Finder AR, an app for the iPhone, allows you to point your phone's camera at a plane and get the flight number, aircraft registration, speed, altitude, and distance. It's based on an existing service called Plane Finder, which tracks planes using ADS-B signals, which are transmitted by commercial airlines.
This is fun.
That's really cool.
Interpol Secretary General Ronald K. Noble's identity was stolen via Facebook. According to the Daily Mail, two fake accounts were created in his name, then used to find the details of highly dangerous criminals. Thanks to Pete C. for sending along the link. If that's actually your real name, Pete C.
And finally, BerryReviews.com has a picture of what is supposedly the BlackBerry Storm 3. Their tipster wishes to remain anonymous, but they think it's real. According to the tipster, Storm 3 is going to have a 3.7-inch display, 8 gigs of internal memory, and is rumored to have mobile Wi-Fi hotspot connectivity.
Shall we go on to the calendar, gentlemen?
It's time for the calendar.
Calendar time. iPhone 4 is going to be available in China on September 25th. And a couple cool things coming out on Tuesday, the 21st, Civilization 5 arrives, plus firmware for 3D functionality on the Sony PS3.
Ooh.
I know.
I want to get that. Actually, I may be sick tomorrow, Sarah. Can you cover for me? Because Civ 5.
Totally.
I mean, because I'm sick.
Yeah.
Six with five.
You look sick. Yeah. Wow, you're looking sicker by the sec.
Yeah, that's the first time you've said that. 260-TNT-SHOW is our voicemail number if you'd like to leave us one, like our first caller who has an interesting point about Android's rise.
Calling to say, I'm wondering if the rise of Android as the dominant phone in the marketplace, is it really real or is it fake? And I guess the reason why I'm asking that is because if you look on Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile and other carriers, there's no other phones coming out that I can think of besides Android phones. You've got other phones like other operators, maybe a couple web OSs and some Windows mobiles, but there's no new phones coming out. So I'm wondering, will Android continue to see this rise once Apple jumps ship from AT&T or goes to other carriers, once Windows 7 comes out, once maybe even Palm comes out with their newest phone, will you see Google's numbers continue to go up? I don't think so. I think they'll start to go down and become stagnant. All right, thanks, bye.
That's a really good point. iPhone only available on AT&T, so bracket that one out. There haven't been a lot of new phones released on other operating systems except RIM, right?
Well, yeah, the BlackBerry. Come on. Oh, that's why. Yeah.
but yeah, we almost all the big releases we've seen have been Android or BlackBerry. Those have been the only big releases this summer. So if we start to see some ramped up releases from other carriers or from other operating system makers, I guess in this case, it could make a difference. I still think Android is going to continue to climb, though, because one of the reasons we've seen so many phones released on it is the manufacturers seem to prefer it. They seem to like it.
Yeah. I don't think that it's an issue of there not being choice. And, of course, more choice is always better. So, you know, we'll see. But I still think that Android's got it for, you know, legitimate reasons and not just because everything else sucks.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like the iPad's great sales.
On to the email.
What is it? The Galaxy?
Well, that just came out.
Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Yeah. I mean, wait till that comes out and then see how the numbers dip on the iPad. If they do.
That's like that big.
Email address tnt@twit.tv. Henrik wrote in, said, "Hello, Team Awesome." We're actually not the only team. We're an awesome team. I don't think we can use the name Team
Officially,
Awesome.
Team Awesome is the Totally Rad Show guys.
Yeah, we don't want to step on their toes.
Yeah, just don't.
So I'm just going to rewrite it a little
bit.
Stay rad,
everybody.
You can be Team Rad.
Hello, team that just happens coincidentally to be awesome. On the last TNT episode 77, you mentioned September 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. September 19th wasn't just Talk Like a Pirate Day, but also the day for the Swedish election. It is, however, unclear whether it is being like Talk Like a Pirate Day that affected the outcome of the election. They got, I think, less than 0.5% of the vote, the Pirate Party. But it's hard to say exactly because the numbers are so small. Meanwhile, the old neo-Nazis managed 5.7% and got into the Riksdag for the first time. To quote Indiana Jones, "Nazis, I hate these guys." Love the show. Thanks, Henrik. That's sad.
He signs it, "Yours depressingly."
Yours depressingly.
Henry.
Yeah, the Pirate Party had won a couple of members of the European Parliament, so people thought that they would do pretty well in the Swedish election, but I guess more people turn out and that
should
watered down the vote.
Elect Like a Pirate Day.
Yep. Mm. That might have done
it. Might have changed the results somewhat. All right, next email from Sheila in Georgia. In news that doesn't make sense to me, but made me LOL, Lily Allen is suing Apple. There are so many better ways of figuring out who hacked a laptop than a lawsuit. So this is, apparently her laptop got hacked. She wanted Apple to allow her the opportunity to...
She just wanted some information about it to help her figure out how it got hacked.
Uh-huh.
And they won't give her any information. Well, so now she's suing them for the information.
Like, how does OS X work? I mean,
well,
what does she want to know?
I don't know exactly what she wants to know. Yeah,
they should give her in absolute detail. And then she'll go, oh, forget I asked. You know, I can just imagine,
exactly.
You know, her being upset and wanting to know.
Here's some reading material. Yeah, I changed your mind.
We don't know how her laptop was compromised, but my guess is, Google it for me. could probably like find the information
maybe
you're
they don't
for faster
her.
Than a lawsuit.
Maybe they don't want
like
to tell
a message
her she
board.
Fell for like a phishing link or something, you know?
Message board posting.
Like, no, it wasn't your fault. Really. Yeah, you clicked the link.
Maybe she just wanted the headline.
Hasn't Apple done a lot for Lily Allen as far as the iTunes music store goes?
She it reminds was, me, I need to go and get her music.
Today. A mainstay on,
does
on
she have
the
a new
iTunes
album?
Music charts.
No, but I just don't have enough.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, obviously, indirectly they have, but not more for her than any other
just
successful musician.
Suing Apple. It's, you know, that's kind of a big entity to take.
Well, if they won't give
a,
her the stuff she wants,
take.
I guess. All right, you know? Yeah. But really, I think she could probably get it elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean.
One would think.
There's lots of resources on the internet.
It just seems like to sue Apple would be like the final straw. After I have exhausted every other possible way to get this information, I'll go this route.
I can imagine the guy at Apple on the other end going, well, ma'am, it sounds like you downloaded a piece of malware and installed it. I can't really. Give me the reason this happened or I will sue.
Have you made any enemies lately? They've probably got your laptop.
Yeah. So you clicked on the nakedpictures.exe.
When you We're made the password, did it say strong or
EXE
medium?
Doesn't work, does it?
If it was medium, someone might have guessed your password.
So you downloaded the piece of Mac.
Ma'am, you're suing
installed us? Installed it in your applications directory and opened it, and it didn't turn out to be the program. Yeah, I can't help you. That's
you're
you,
suing
you did
us.
It.
I just want to make sure I understand this.
Well, we don't know that, but we can speculate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is suing.
Well, we don't know that she downloaded malware.
That's all we know.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Sheila, for that email. Everybody, you can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or you can call us, 260-TNT-SHOW. Thanks, Darren, for being on the show today.
Yeah, you can go over to hack5.org. Find out how you can open your garage door with an Android phone.
Ooh, I actually needed that this morning.
Twit.tv/TNT for everything else. We'll see you tomorrow.